Just wait. Now, just slow down a minute, will you?
Yeah.
This is the Hoolies Hoolie. Welcome.
Yes, it is. How you doing, Pat?
Very
post,
well, Bill.
Post-holiday.
Clay, thanks for being here again.
Did anyone blow any fingers off?
No. No. I saw some pretty spectacular stuff, though.
That's why everybody's got to just slow down.
There's literally people waking up today, and they have less fingers than they did a week ago.
Well, probably. That's every day. There's somebody that got people lose fingers every day now.
It's true, but I think a majority are on this holiday.
Yeah. Oh, I hope everybody had a happy 4th of July.
I had a safe one, yeah.
I did. Clay, you went to the Guns N' Roses concert.
Twice.
Wow, that's commitment.
It was a beautiful, beautiful experience.
A lot of marriages ended this weekend.
Yeah.
I could be
and
certain
a lot of
that.
Relationships were formed. New ones bonded, yeah.
Yep, yeah. For sure.
It was really unbelievable. They put on an amazing show, and it was just something to see, and I'm glad I did because it probably won't happen again.
It was blowing. It blew up my Facebook feed. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that
mine
was
too.
The event.
It was, and but the funny thing about it is, I don't think that everybody I know that went to the show was over and like they said their expectations were over and beyond of what these guys did.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't hear that a lot when you go to a concert, especially a band say like Guns N' Roses.
It hasn't played together in 20 years.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you get there and it's like, wow, they're playing everything. I mean, I remember, you know, we've all been to a
What Does It
Who
Matter
show
to You?
Or a Stone show.
People deep down when they go to concerts, they want it to sound like it does on the album.
They
absolutely
do.
You know?
Yeah,
and that's
do.
What it was. But then it was even above that because it was extended. Like,
Axl heightened it.
Heightened it. The Slash heightened it too.
That's what I want to ask. Was Axl has always had a knack for the theatrical. Was there any element of that present that night on
Absolutely.
Stage?
Absolutely. Yeah, his presence is felt like from the first note.
But
and then
you know,
they slide the piano up front, and he sits
okay,
there.
Yeah,
and
so there was a showman
he
element.
He stands there with the mic stand over his head, you know, uh-huh. at the end of a song for like 20 seconds. Stares. It's beautiful,
like the end of Guitar Hero.
He's and picking up literally where he left off in 1993. Or
the
whatever.
Reason that the rest of them hated him,
right? For the most part. So but now everybody.
In other words, Axl has won.
He won. Yeah,
he's won. He got what he wanted.
And everybody's sober now, so they're all getting along a lot better because like. That was the majority of the problem.
Everybody wasn't sober at that show, for sure, though.
No one was sober at that
no,
show.
No, yeah, that's what
I was.
Another perspective
Me
I
and
wanted
the band
to ask you.
Were the only sober people on the show.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
go to Guns N' Roses sober, and how does that work? Like, you know.
Well, oddly enough, the first Friday night, I went by myself, and I was supposed to meet up with people, but these people had special bracelets that I couldn't get. So I ended up watching the show by myself the whole 2.5 hours.
Yep.
And I just walked around and I went from different seat to different seat. The security was really kind of lax.
Loose.
Yeah. So I would just, you know.
They were like, everybody here's on drugs. Just back
slip
off.
Slip a 20,
a bit.
Go down first row and sit there for 10 songs. And then I found my spot and I stayed there for the whole show. And then I got up and got in my car and took off.
Very nice.
It was so random.
It was
great. Yeah.
And then Sunday I went with a group of crazy people and it was
experience.
It was the pure Guns N' Roses experience to a T.
Yep.
Obviously I didn't, you know, partake in any drinking or anything like that, but yeah. I was babysitting basically 5 grown people.
And then there were fireworks at the end of the Guns N' Roses show.
Yeah. And the fireworks were great. And they shot off huge cannons of like red, white, and blue confetti all over the crowd. It was amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm going to play a song from it later on and give you a feel of how tip-top their performance
Guns N'
was.
Roses in Chicago, huh? It's over and done with.
The Irishman.
They
Ray
didn't
Axl
talk
Rose.
About...
William Bailey, yeah.
He didn't endorse McCann's Irish Oatmeal or anything during the show.
They actually stopped the show for like 20 minutes and they all had a bowl.
Beautiful.
It was
great.
And whipped it at the audience and the audience loved it. Axl hit me with oatmeal. Show sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal for you neophyte listeners who haven't picked that up yet.
Delicious.
It's the best.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that I know that my friends that I was around with, somebody must have been eating their McCann's Irish Oatmeal because no accidents with the fireworks for me.
To
for
report,
me and my
friends. That's
good. To report, yes.
If you eat a bowl of hot meal, oatmeal,
hot
meal, or just meal in general, but it has to be McCann's.
You're pretty much bulletproof.
On a 4th of July, it's like a bulletproof vest.
I did have an... Oh! I did have an injury, which I just bumped on the desk, and I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
So I'm not really a lake person, a boat person, that sort of thing. Yeah. But I'm on a boat on a lake.
You injured yourself. Over
I injured
the weekend.
Myself. This is what happened. So I'm on this boat and we're zipping around this little lake and whatever, and we finish up. So we bring the boat back into the little dock there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the pier is like old wooden, you know.
And you're with your wife and kids?
I'm with a cousin of my wife. So he's like 23.
Okay.
You know, he's a knucklehead and
can you give me some beers?
Yeah, that sort of guy. Mm-hmm. So we pull in the thing and we do a good job. We get it in nice and neat, and we're both not really experienced, and we're getting out, and I'm laying on the pier trying to hook this clamp onto the
rope. Yeah.
Rope onto the boat. And I slide my leg a little bit to reach down.
Yeah.
I get like a 3-inch splinter in my shin.
Oh, baby.
From this pier.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I feel it immediately, the pressure from it. I look at this dude. I'm like, we got to get back to the house.
Pull it out, man.
And so I go back to the house and I tell my wife, I'm like, because she's into like popping zits and stuff. She likes that. Like, she really does. She's into, girls are into
weird
stuff.
There are people
like
that are into that.
Yeah, there's YouTube cult videos on that stuff.
She's a follower.
She's a zit popper. It's a national pastime for some people.
She's a subscriber to Zit Popper TV. So I'm like, she will love doing this. Like, get the tweezers. Like, this is right up her alley, right?
Yeah.
She's like, no, I can't. Like, I can't. I can't.
Too grossed out.
It's too grossed out. So I had to dig in my leg and dig this thing out.
Oh.
And it was like Rambo when I pulled it out. I was like,
you gotta just do it real fast.
No, you don't.
No, yeah, you
do. Not with wood, because you don't want any shards.
Excess shards.
I did it slow and neat, and then I went out and I showed like 30 people. I'm like, look at this. There was like, you know, 85-year-olds down to 10-year-olds. Everyone was like, wow.
Wow, that's right.
So I did injure myself, and it was not fun, but that's life.
Well, I was in...
I'm sorry to hear that.
My good buddy Keith...
Glad you're okay.
I was in Keith Jaworski's backyard.
Irishman.
Yeah. It was very Americana back there, man.
Yeah, Keith is into the fourth, man. That's
Keith
his thing.
Keith does it.
He dropped some coin on some pyrotechnics.
Spent $2,000 on fireworks.
He grew up in Cicero. This is part of the culture.
I was like, leave it to a guy from Cicero to be able to... I mean, this was unbelievable. They had
him. Basically get a crib, baby diapers, and $2,000 for the fireworks.
In someone's garage in Cicero, for sure.
Yeah.
But this is his firework event is
we love Cicero,
would
by the
rival
way.
A high school.
Like, you know, I mean, amazing. It seemed like
from
that.
From the pictures Bill showed,
I was like,
it rivals New York City.
A buddy of mine was like, no, you got to experience this.
I
was
like,
really?
Like,
he's
like,
backyard. And he's like, no, it's not what you think it's going to be like. I'm like, what? So I get over there, and he's got, obviously, he's cooked out for like 40 people.
Yep.
And he built like these chicken wire fences. To go around like his patio area, that was where the pyrotechnics were going to take place. Then everybody else was like protected by like a 3-foot high like chicken wire fence, and then like, they were standing in the grass. I looked at that and I was like,
"That's not."
And his
work.
Girlfriend Ashley was like, "I'm standing in the front lawn, man.
Like, I'm standing in the bathroom."
She's like, "Have you seen this before?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "You're in for something. Why don't you just stand in the front lawn?" I'm like, "Okay." And then these guys, I mean, the way they set it up, they're like, it's all right, it's getting dark, we're going to start the show in about 5 minutes. I'm like, okay.
It only takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They had dueling hoses. They did it very safe, you know, safe way to do it. I don't know if there's anything safe about blowing up $2,000 worth of firecrackers, but the one guy on one end of the yard had, like, a hose going, like, it was live, and then another guy on the other end had one, so that, like... And then he had like he has a boat in his backyard that had like a tarp on it. So like they sprayed water all over that. They sprayed water on like
just make sure the boat doesn't burn
they
down.
They were spraying water all over the top of the roof of their house, spraying it on the top of the, you know. And I was like, are these guys serious? Is this going to be that big of a show?
They wet the yard down.
It was unbelievable. I was like, I mean, there. And then like, I don't know. I guess it was only in like in Broadview. I guess they can get away with this. There was a guy like a corner. Like
there was probably like 5,000 people
shows.
Watching.
Well, no. Like they had told us that they had been doing this show in their backyard for like the past like 5 or 6 years. And now it's catching on that there's like a yard, like three, like a block over.
Like competition?
Yeah. And like, so all you need to do is stand out on the front lawn of.
I'm going to Broadview this year.
Just stand out over on 13th Street, like just off of Roosevelt Road on 13th and Broadview.
We're like catcher's equipment.
It's unbelievable.
Stand out there. I hope you don't get hit in the neck with a
rocket. But I was getting hit with like all these pieces of shrapnel. I was no, I didn't care. I was laughing too hard once I experienced what I was watching.
It was so fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were all laughing.
They do that in my neighborhood in, like, October. It's just like there's constantly fireworks going off.
Right, and I was actually Pete Ruffino, who went to Fenwick with you, was at this party.
Wrestling star.
And he was telling me, I was telling him a funny story about when we were in high school at Joe Healy's house in Elmwood Park, and he was like, this is nothing, man. And he goes, but you know, he was telling me how he was raised to
never trust an Irish guy who lives in Elmwood Park.
He's like,
PGO Day, come on.
He
all my uncles.
He said. He said that growing up, he was raised to hate fireworks. I was like, really? I thought that was like an Italian pastime.
Yeah, it is kind of.
They love selling you fireworks. You got some black cats I got in my back of my Cadillac.
Yeah, right. No, half sticks of dynamite. I didn't hear any of that. Like, no. I didn't hear any quarter sticks or half sticks going off.
Well, I was with people who were like 70 and 80 in Wisconsin. And yeah. every noise, it was like, that was an M80.
That was an
M80s are so loud.
That had to have been an M80.
Is that called Thundercats?
Was that? Did you hear that M80 last night? Were you sleeping?
An M80.
No, that was a little Jimmy threw a six.
No, I heard my
Thundercats.
What was the last time? I don't think I've ever actually seen anyone holding an M80.
I'm not going anywhere near an M80.
Have you ever lit an M80 off?
I believe I have.
Probably at Marquette.
I probably
blew up an M80
in
like Wisconsin.
I was always scared of fireworks too, though, because I just had bad luck. Like, I was the only the person who got caught whenever we did something bad.
Sure.
Yes.
So I just felt like if someone's going to blow something off, it's going to be me because my luck is terrible. Even if I do everything right, something little thing I'll forget.
The last time I played with fireworks was...
I hear people put them on their heads, though. That's how
I was up in Milwaukee. I don't know if you guys were there for this 4th of July up in Milwaukee when we were attending Marquette, and... I was roaming the streets with Tom O'Brien at the time.
Hey, fine
and,
Irishman.
He had Roman candles on him.
He just had Roman candles
and
on him.
I was
just rolling around that day with some
candles. I was obviously intoxicated along with most of the people that were with me.
Most of Milwaukee.
And we were shooting him off, and this girl, I didn't realize that this female police officer, like they were walking like beats up and down the street, like trying to maintain the lunacy that was going on, you know?
Maintain things like what you were doing.
Yes, exactly. So, like, she comes up on this front stoop, and I didn't even see her there. And she's like, all right, like, you're going to shoot Roman candles off. You got to shoot them up in the air. You can't, like, you know, be pointing them at people and joking around or, like, throwing, you know, smoke bombs. The whole, we all had all kinds of crap. And I, like, didn't see her and like turned it like lit one and I had one in my crotch and was holding it and I turned around and it shot and it hit like right before her feet and my heart stopped. I thought I was going to jail that night. I was like, that's it, I'm done with fireworks. It's quite amusing to the people that saw it because they were like, he's dead. They're like, he's
did
dead.
She not flip out on you?
She just looked at me, shook her head and was like, last warning. And I was oh, thank God. I thought I was going
to jail. That's why you got your speeding ticket this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got a ticket. We can talk
karma.
About that. Yeah.
Hey, let's take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli. We'll be back after these short messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in 4 states. The Skinny and Hooli Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to ednapletonhonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at ednapletonhonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Yeah, we're back. 1240 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hooley's Hooley.
Go see Eddie Napleton when you can.
Sure.
That's right.
Get yourself a car.
Get yourself a car and drive slow.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Do you know who Pizza Bill is?
I do know who Pizza Bill is, yeah.
Clay, do you know Pizza Bill?
Pizza is the first name?
Yeah, well, his nickname, we're going to get to that. His nickname is Pizza Bill.
I'm sitting next to him.
Yeah,
you
right?
You can call me that. Yeah, I've been known. That's an old nickname.
You're Frito Bill.
I'm an old regular.
Dorito Bill, Frito Bill, Pizza Bill, Cheeseburger Bill.
Philly Nicotine.
Starburst.
I'm going to start calling you just Starburst.
Philly Nicotine was...
My buddy Starburst.
Starburst. Skittle. Billy Skittle.
Billy Skittles.
Billy Skittle is a good name.
Billy Skittles was a gangster in the 70s. Got whacked out.
Yeah.
Yo, man, that guy was kicking it over.
He touched
Billy
the rainbow.
Touched the rainbow.
Chased the rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Go back.
All right, anyway, who's Pizza Bill? I don't know.
Pizza Bill is an old regular of mine at Kevel's.
Okay.
All right.
And why do you call him that?
His real name is William Yanyanis.
That's a beautiful name as well.
Fine Greek man.
A great guy.
Yeah.
He got the nickname Pizza Bill because he started coming into Kevel's. He worked for Giordano's.
Yeah.
Right? Very nice.
And he was a manager in the city for the one in Greektown for a long, long time. Uh-huh. Probably a better part of a decade.
Yeah.
Anyway, he'd come in after work there and he'd come into Kevel's because he lived in Forest Park right around the corner.
Sure.
And he'd have pies.
Yeah,
for everybody, right?
Yeah. Those are pizzas.
Yeah, and everybody go, oh, it's Bill, the guy with the pizza Bill, right?
Yeah.
So he became Pizza Bill.
And he'd barter for it. He'd get a few beers for free, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
It's the way the world should be.
Uh-huh.
So Pizza Bill also became a regular at Goldie's, right?
Right.
Oh, Goldie so Burgers, he's taking his act one of our former the road, homes. Huh?
Oh, he took his act at right down the row of bars. Yeah. Make sure there's pizza, you know, the sausages for them, the cheese and pepperonis for Kevel's. Because you got to make your stops on the way home.
Yep. Sure.
Anyway, I got to know him quite well over the years. Mike Sullivan tells a good story about him because Pizza Bill is quite the conversationalist, all right?
Mike Sullivan, the owner of Goldie's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pizza Bill will tell you, you know, he was kind of a hippie, and he's Gene Dumanian. Do you know who Gene Dumanian is?
Yes, I do know who she is.
Gene Dumanian was the producer of all Woody Allen's films, and she was also the producer of Saturday Night Live for a number of years when Lorne Michaels left. She is his aunt, all right? So when he discovered that I was a filmmaker, he used to share things about the film world with me. In fact, as soon as he told me that he was Gene Dumanian's nephew, Pizza Bill and I became much better friends.
Yeah.
We've shared things over the years, and Mike Sullivan tells a good story. The story is a guy had struck a conversation up with Pizza Bill.
Yeah.
At Goldie's one night, and he came in like a day later, and he said, "Boy, Mike, is Zabil coming in?" And Mike said, "What?" He goes, "Is that guy Zabil, Mr. Zabil?" And he goes, "Who?" He goes, "Pete Zabil, right?"
Yes.
He goes, "Is he coming in tonight?" And Mike said, "No, Mr. Zabil will not be joining."
Yeah.
Dr. Zabil.
Love that joke.
But anyway, William Yanyanis, I get a call.
Today?
No, last week.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, I don't recognize the number, and then I see, Billion, that's Pizza Bill. What's he want?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to play a quick voice message from him.
Okay.
Here you go.
Yeah, Pat, this is Pizza Bill, and yes, I went Sunday to see my cousin's son, Chris Strompolis, do a documentary on the remake adaptation of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I bought a book, and I think that you might be interested in seeing this book. Anyway, it's about filmmaking, and it took him 7 years to do this project, and the guy even, my nephew even met Steven Spielberg, because he was really impressed with Spielberg did the original, and then when he saw his documentary, at a patient, and he endorsed him, and he's doing really, really well for himself. So anyway, give me a call back at 708.
Pizza Bill.
You know what, Pizza Bill? At least tell me the title of the book. It's the least you can do, buddy.
Yeah.
See, that's how he gets you to call him back. He just hooked you.
Yeah.
I got that message. Uh-huh. What a sweetheart. You can tell he's very sweet. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Okay. I can introduce him.
Yeah.
Let's get together.
Anyway, I'm tending bar Saturday night, over the weekend. Right. Dead. Nobody in there.
I know. The 4th of July weekend is always it's a bar rough. Owner's nightmare.
Yeah.
Pizza Bill comes
unless you're
in.
Up in like a lake house territory.
Unless you got Pizza Bill as a customer.
Pizza Bill comes in.
Okay.
He's got the book.
Nice.
Nice. Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
He goes, Pat, I have the book. Oh my God, right?
Yeah.
And then he had a couple of tall boy PBRs and we sat down and
he showed me pizza?
He showed me this book.
No, pizza.
This is mind blowing, okay? These kids, all right, his nephew is a kid and his nephew's name is Chris Strampoulos.
Yeah.
All right. And he, in 1989, is when they got this film shot. But when, as young kids, he and two of his friends, went to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark the year it was released.
Sure.
And they saw it like 10 or 20 times.
Yeah.
This was pre-VHS tapes, okay, for a good part of it, and then into the VHS era.
Yeah.
They recreated the film shot by shot on memory. They went to the theater so many times where they drew storyboards and notes for every scene of the film. The guy who did the storyboards as a young kid was an aspiring comic book creator.
Sure.
Right? These storyboards are just as good as anything Scorsese or anybody else would have ever done.
Right. Yeah.
This book is... So what happened
How
was...
How old were they?
They were from the age of like 11 to the time... like 10 to like the age of like 18. And then years later, they ended up finishing it. All right? Now, they shot the movie... They got all the actors. They got the helicopter. They did all the stunts.
Wait a minute. They got Harrison Ford again?
No, they played the parts themselves.
How did they finance it?
They made it. They made all the filmmaking equipment themselves, like all the dollies and everything. Like they were that film nerd obsessed with wanting to recreate this movie that they did it and they gave themselves a film education in the process. They actually taught themselves how to make a movie, remaking Raiders of the Lost Ark all the way through high school.
That's a hard movie to pull off.
Yeah, real hard. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it was a legend amongst like cinephiles and film geeks that this VHS copy of this movie even existed. It was like folklore that these kids did this.
Right. Uh-huh.
Eli Roth, the horror film director, who's very well known from like Saw and a lot of other respectable horror movies. Well-known director, right?
Right.
When he first got like a few years back. He had a meeting with Spielberg's company, right? And he goes and he meets with Spielberg's executives. And in the middle of the meeting, he had a copy of the movie that these kids had made. Somehow he had got like a hot copy in Hollywood he had passed around or whatever. And he gave it to Spielberg. He was like, have you ever seen this? Do you know that this exists?
Yeah.
Like these kids remade your movie with like maybe 10 grand over the course of like 8 years and built everything with like paper mache and like it.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And Spielberg's like, huh? Spielberg sees the movie
and
is absolutely mind blown. All right.
Yeah.
He can't believe it. He's like, he called Eli Roth back the next day. Eli Roth had not even met with Spielberg, just gave the tapes and give this to Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Yeah.
So he calls Eli Roth. He's like, where'd you get this?
Yeah.
He's like, this is phenomenal. I got to meet these kids. I got to meet them.
Yeah.
So he meets them, and they made this documentary that is out. So there's a doc out
goes
back and follows these kids.
I'd like to see
and
that.
And it culminates with Spielberg at the end. And now these kids have all... And so all the original storyboards was compiled into this book that Pizza Bill had. All right?
Nice.
And he's like, I think that this is... You would like this. And I was like, my God. It's... one of the neat, coolest things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
From a film dork perspective, it's, you know, it doesn't get any Chicago than that. You know, you're in showbiz, you're trying to, like, who's got connections? You know, like, the guy in the suit over here, I know everybody. And then Pizza Bill comes in with a boot on his foot. He's Gene Demania's nephew. You could say it's his cousin's making movies with Spielberg.
Yeah. You could say the book is the Holy Grail that they were after in the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, so the movie's called Raiders of the Lost Ark, an adaptation. Awesome. I'll pull up the title of the doc in a little bit because I told Pizza Bill I'd plug it on the show. But
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
I'm all in on that.
Have you ever wanted to remake a movie? Of like just, I mean, I remember when I was in film school, we all did that kind of stuff. You're emulating scenes of other filmmakers. That goes on forever.
I never wanted to remake a movie, but I always just, I'm in wonder of how movies are made. Like just simple shots. I know how long, having been in films, how long one simple shot takes.
Yeah.
I am amazed by the dedication, what I'm getting at is that we used to wait around for stuff. Like everything is so instant now to be able to learn stuff.
Yep.
That when you hear of a story about these kids that like sat around and waited every week to go to the movie again, went to the movie again.
The persistence.
Yeah.
It's beyond dedication.
Never happen. You won't hear about that kind of stuff anymore due to the fact that the digital age is everything so accessible all of a sudden.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But I'm not sure that true craftsmanship evolves from that kind of stuff anymore.
Unless you're living in Amish land.
Yeah. I guarantee you the next Scorsese is probably Amish. I would agree.
I would agree with Scorsese.
Jedediah Scorsese.
Don't tell anybody, but I have an Amish son.
He'll make the most boring movie ever.
Amish convert.
He's making movies about Amish.
About raking.
Like Amish crime.
How to put up a barn.
There's a
the right way.
My movie takes place in Pennsylvania. It's about Amish gangsters that are tractor thieves.
There's no cameras.
No cameras.
It's against the rules.
Cameras are against the rules. So
we had to figure something out.
Yep.
We drew everything.
I drew it, and if you pull
you did a flip
if you turn the pages really quickly, you can. It's cinema.
Really quickly.
Hey, this weekend, Pat, your daughter wrapped up. They had like a little concert, I guess.
A movie with Scorsese. Yeah.
No, at the Irish American Heritage Center, the Francis O'Neill.
She opened for Guns N'
Irish
Roses.
Arts Week was there. Mm-hmm. Francis O'Neill Irish Works at the Irish School of Music. How was it?
It was great. I wasn't there. I didn't go to it.
Oh, what a proud father, huh?
Did you get a YouTube video of it?
No, I dad took her. I had, I was working around the house. And
that's a good grandpa activity.
It was a great grandpa activity.
Yeah. All right.
That's their one-on-one time.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. She enjoyed it, though, right?
She had a great time.
Good.
Especially when she disappeared and just started walking through the hallways. And dad couldn't find her for like 10
flute
minutes.
Through the hallways?
At the IHC?
Yeah, she was just playing the flute, walking down the hallway.
Hey, that's all right.
Probably one of the strangler. He was so angry. That's terrifying when a kid walks away from you. Like, where'd you go?
He found her upstairs. She was eating a bowl of McCann's Irish.
Of course.
Feeling terrific.
Yeah. It's like, I got to get my,
There'll be many more concerts for you to attend.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I got my first speeding ticket ever.
Today. Ever?
Ever. First time ever getting pulled over.
What a wuss.
Yeah. I'm quite angry about it, but there's nothing I could really do about it. So
pay it.
Yeah, but I feel
they
like
got
this.
You on the gun.
Here's the thing,
Got no case.
I don't have any case, but the funny thing is, I don't have a case at all. That's all right.
You should do.
Yes. What?
Fight it. Show up in court. Listen. Show up in court in a suit. With a bunch of files under your arm and a neck brace. And say that you want a motion for
I did say to the police officer, I'm like, look, I realized I was probably going a little
just
bit
walk
faster.
And go, court's adjourned.
I was like, I got to get to Mariano's.
I fantasized.
I was like, I
got to
get over
before.
To Mariano's on 110.
There were guys that got away with that.
You know, like a bailiff would slam you on the ground.
Mm-hmm. I told him, though. I was like, look, I don't know if you're from this community, but I hope you understand that they do like their liquor around here. I got to get over to Mariano's to place this liquor order.
I'm actually surprised.
There's going to be no booze there this weekend.
Because kind of the unwritten rule is you never hassle the working man, which they've let me off before because I'm working.
That's what I was like, come on, man.
Go handle your business.
I was like, I'm in the middle of my job. I'm just trying to get from one account to another account. You saw me leave the Mariano's on 95th.
They usually let you go if you're working.
I don't know how you prove you're working. Do you have to have a toolbox in the car or something?
I'm working here. I have my computer on the...
Suit and tie. He's got that look in his face like, I'm not doing my job
correctly.
So did
Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Right. Yeah. Someone should have given him a break. If somebody would have given him a break, he would have been all right.
Yeah.
But have you guys gotten, you know, traffic violations? This has been the running theme this summer for me.
I get like three of those.
Slow down.
I get like,
I said at the top of the show, just hey.
I'm trying to. You can't do anything about it, even when you think you're driving well.
This is the root of the problem, Bill. The speed limits are too low. It shouldn't be 35. It should be 45 on that street.
On 95th Street?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
95th Street is probably one of the busiest streets on the whole south side.
The expressway should be 70. There's 70 in California.
Well, I think it's 95th Street, I think, is six lanes, too. It's like, why are we going 35 on a six-lane road?
So they can make money off you.
That's exactly right. Right. But,
so basically, I did three of those camera things a month.
You're going to take the class then, right? You're going to take that internet class. So that's what they offer now?
Yeah, you got to go to traffic school online. So it's I guess the rule now for people when you get tickets
it's better
or
than
speeding
showing
tickets.
Up.
Yeah, if you get a speeding ticket, you can you can't have a previous conviction within, I think it's 12 months.
Uh-huh.
You're in the clear.
So I'm fine. You have to be, you know, so I can take this thing. But if you get a second violation, that's it. No more traffic school. You're pleading guilty. It's going on your driving record.
Prison.
Yeah.
50 years.
But you should have seen me after the cop left. There were some fun expletives coming out of my mouth. You know, I was like, why? Why?
That's the same way I felt when Mumby took my apartment from me.
Good thing you didn't go off on the cop because you would have had bigger problems.
Yeah. That's the way you felt when Mumby took your apartment from you?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
That's how I felt when I got a 3-inch splinter in my leg.
Yep.
I'll bet, yeah.
We all had rough times.
Splinter, Mumbies, and tickets. Hey, I want to play a song. I was going to play a song because I was getting... Well, we're going to play GNR too.
What do you mean to play?
I want to play this song. It's called We Used to Wait.
All right.
You know it?
No,
and you're dedicating it to the guys. Who,
I'm dedicated to the guys
to the
who
filmmakers.
Waited. Yeah, to the filmmakers, and like I'm nostalgic for yesteryears lately. I don't know why.
Me too.
You know why? Because everything that's going on in the media and everything, like I feel like I'm actually watching a movie
I don't want to watch.
But
like sanity.
But the perception of reality is like I think that's what it's like. Is this real? Like, what the hell's going on here? You know.
I agree with you. Yeah.
You got to step back.
You got to step back. You got to wait a minute. You got to wait.
Yeah.
By the time we met, by the
Arcade Fire doing.
Yeah.
We Used to Wait. That's off the Suburbs. I like that one.
Very cool.
I played that for that film. I pulled it up here. It's called Raiders, the story of the greatest fan film ever made. It was just released, which is why I was out at the Music Box where Pizza Bill went and saw it.
Gotcha.
Released on June 17th.
Very cool.
How do you get access to it?
Yeah, how do we see it again?
Well, it's in theaters. You can go to the official site here and check out raidersdoc.com.
Okay.
And that'll tell you where it's screening. Pretty cool stuff. It's directed
great.
By Tim Skuskin and Jeremy Kuhn. Check it out.
Will do.
All right, yeah,
give William Yanyanis' nephew full support there. We've got to help out Pizza Bill.
Yeah.
Clay, you said you're listening to the police scanners a lot over the weekend. That's something
a little
you
bit.
Like to do?
I do it once in a while. It's pretty entertaining.
How do you get access to that?
There's an app for that.
I know there's an app for it. You pay for it?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
You know, Mr. Lenny Terrell, senior, our friends, Lenny
yeah,
and Brian.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Their dad worked in the DEA for a while. That was his thing. He used to sit on the porch during hot summers, and he go, Brian, Lenny, I'm going to be listening for you.
Uh-huh. They have the scanner on.
Don't you guys go crazy now. I got the Oak Park channel on. I can hear everything going on in the neighborhood.
I'm sure he heard their names once or twice.
He did.
Absolutely.
He did. Remember that when he heard that? Probably around the 4th of July
that.
When we were
yeah.
about 15 years old.
Getting in fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a gun pulled on us that night.
Yeah, it was scary. And no question about it. Yeah.
I don't know.
What an only
that.
Time I've ever actually had a gun pulled on me.
I'll never forget that. I go up on Mr. Terrell's porch and we go, what happened? He goes, Lenny stood up to some guy. He got knocked out of his shoes. He goes, what? Because his shoes are missing. He's been knocked out of his shoes. Where are you guys? You know, and we brought him back. But yeah, they pulled a. What happened was we got messed with.
They had weapons and stuff. We were defending. First of all, the guys that were trying to attack us
mm-hmm.
were like 26 years old.
Yeah,
and
we were like
15. It was a no match.
It was insane.
You know?
Yeah.
The
good old days, boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't need to go into detail about that story.
No, but yeah. You know, it's just police scanners. Clay, what did you hear on the police scanner?
I heard a funny thing the other night that a kid walked into Jewel mm-hmm. on Lawrence and Cumberland. And dropped his backpack there. Stole some merchandise, left, but forgot his backpack. They opened the backpack, and it was filled to the brim with marijuana.
Oh.
Yeah, probably.
How high was he?
Probably like $5,000 worth of
weed. That he forgot
at Jewel.
Most important thing that he was probably.
Yeah. He was probably on his way to drop it off.
He was probably stealing some Skittles.
Yeah. He was hungry.
His name was Billy Skittles.
You got this kid over at the Jewel Haskell on Lawrence Cumberland, Billy Skittles.
William Skittles.
He's got about 5 G's worth of weed in his backpack.
He probably didn't have a good 4th.
No, man.
No.
That was like a couple weeks ago, though. So he's probably still recovering from that.
He's in debt right now. He owes someone some serious coin.
Yeah, someone's not happy with
him. Not at all.
It's all right.
But you said you kept hearing, you were listening on the 4th, and all you could hear was CPD going, oh, gunshots fired. Nope. Fireworks. Call it off.
Shots fired. No, fireworks again. Shots fired.
Fireworks again.
I'm sure, as we know from reading the paper, that's the sad reality. A lot of those shots
made it of Chicago.
Where they needed to go.
Nope.
Yeah. Another violent weekend. 60-something people shot.
Yeah.
A lot killed. It's out of control.
Gotta pray. Pray for peace, man. It is out of control. Hey, Dwayne Wade is a Chicago Bull, guys.
I know. That's insane.
Welcome to the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you
want? I don't know. Now I'm like, okay.
Just give me some Rondo.
They're doing
Rondo.
No.
So what do they got? Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler. They're all guards. We don't have Taj Gibson, they're probably going to have to trade him now to free up cap space for the Wade signing, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
they don't have
Paul Gasol's gone.
It's a shooter's
Noah's
game
Noah's gone.
Who's their shooter? Dunleavy's gone.
I'm like, what? I mean, this is a total rebuild. No question about it. But
this is a classic Jerry Reinsdorf, like White Sox. This is like what he does with the White Sox. Like when they suck.
Sort
for a
of.
Few
years. Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're getting rid of everybody. We just signed Kenny Lofton and
Kenny Loggins.
And Kenny Loggins.
He's going to sing the national anthem every day.
And play shortstop.
Mm-hmm. He's all right.
No, but it's just they're in disarray. It's going to be another 5
I think,
year.
You know
process,
what I think? I think
blah,
because
blah,
they're
going
to stink. I think this was Gar Forman and John Paxson's way of saying, "Oh, we'll replace one Chicago boy with another Chicago boy," because, you know, obviously they get rid of Derrick Rose. It's like, well, now let's bring in Dwayne Wade. I will say this.
D-Wade.
Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, both Marquette grads.
That's what I'm excited
about.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool to be on the Bulls. That's probably a first time in NBA history.
Pretty rare.
That's rare.
That's good. That's Marquette just like leapt for joy.
See, they did what we
like,
didn't
do. Boy, I hope those guys will recruit for us in the Chicagoland area.
Sure, exactly.
They did what we didn't do at Marquette. They actually tried.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Yeah.
On the court, at least.
They tried on the court. I tried.
Dean Price asking,
I had a lot
where,
of classes with the basketball players.
I did not. I don't think.
Were
the
they
guy
reporting
I had
to Mary Minson?
They were in every class.
Yeah. Remember her? Remember Mary Minson?
Yeah, she didn't like me.
Yeah,
no one liked me there.
Clay and I had guidance counselors in college.
Mary Minson was like my parole officer.
Yeah,
she essentially was. We were in a program together at Marquette called FFP.
Yeah, that's for dumb kids who can barely get in.
They make them go to summer school.
The Freshman Frontier Program.
It was called
program,
the Freshman Frontier Program.
They can't call it the dumb kid program.
It means if your parents are wealthy enough to pay the tuition and you can get through this summer school class, you're in, kiddo.
Right. I mean, I think there was, I think out of
which was actually a blessing because we learned our way around the city. We learned our way. We met everybody.
It was not healthy for me.
They probably had like a 25% graduation rate out of all everybody that went to FFP.
I think all of them graduated.
No way, are you kidding me?
I didn't graduate from Marquette.
I could name 10 guys off of FFP right now that didn't graduate.
Quinn.
No, they chose other routes.
Uh-huh.
Tons of guys in that group. Yeah. Anyway, FFP was that program. Met all my greatest friends at Marquette in the FFP program. Problem was with FFP was, it's not like the guy you met in FFP was hitting the books every day.
No.
You
know?
Right,
as soon as you got there, he was like, "Hey, is there a bar around here we can go to?" Like,
"Oh, you're a psycho too?"
Yeah.
Sweet.
We're taking a freshman year of high school English class to get into Marquette here. Yeah. Parents are paying 10 G's for the summer. Uh-huh. Let's go bonkers for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's
see how weird we can get.
So the problem was, by the time real school started, this is like before you go to college.
By the time real school started, you were already like thinking about graduation.
You were soiled. Like, completely. Like, all the kids that showed up were
you
like...
You hadn't even started one class of freshman year. You're like, I'm pretty much done.
You already knew everything was.
Checked out.
Like, I already figured out how to ditch. Like, it's all... Didn't last for me. Chris Farley, another FFP. That was the claim to fame.
Uh-huh.
But what I was getting to is that Clay and I, you had a guidance counselor.
Right.
And I remember my Clay? Amy Chisnell.
Mrs. Chisnell.
Yeah. Sweetheart of a woman. Just she just looked at me and said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to laugh. I want to have fun. I want to laugh." You know?
Yeah.
She said, "You got to go to journalism class." I go, "They won't let me write for the paper." "Well, you got to work your way into that."
Uh-huh.
"Nah, forget about
that. Nah, I'm going to do it first day."
Right.
I know. I failed Spanish. Mary Minson gave me, you know, an earful about that.
I failed Spanish. Why was I taking Spanish in college? You know?
You had to. I think it was a prereq for everyone before you could go into your major.
You know, Hispanic children learn English at the age of like 3.
Yeah.
I know.
And they're bilingual.
I do remember complaining about taking it when we were 20. I remember being in your dorm room, like, you know, in the old days because we didn't have cell phones up at Marquette when we were there either.
That's the first time I had a cell phone.
Is it?
Yeah, because
I did not have one.
I was going to jump off a cliff.
I just remember you like would be checking your voicemail because you guys had the dorm room together and it'd be like, "Clay, this is Mary Minson. Please call me back. Clay, this is Mary Minson. Please call me back."
Your history teacher called. She says your history paper was a word for word from 1800 page 186 of an encyclopedia.
Yeah, well,
yes, it was.
I actually just ripped a page out of the encyclopedia and stapled it onto it.
Stapled it onto a couple of pieces of loose leaf paper.
Yep,
my paper.
Put a nice cover photo on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a teacher at Marquette, Dr. Julian Hills. He was British.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. He taught theology, and he was a WASP. And I thought it was interesting that I went to a Catholic university and like a priest wasn't teaching theology. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
He knew theology better than any priest I had ever come across. He like was like a convert of some kind, right? So we were talking. He was teaching about mysticism and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And he assigned some very hard paper to write, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I wrote a story about a Vietnam vet named Joe who was a good Samaritan.
Uh-huh.
What'd you get on it?
A D. I remember he goes,
Paddy, I can tell that you're a spiritual man, but this has nothing to do with the assignment. I said, it's religious. It's about a guy who's nice. He's good.
I took a
he
class.
Helps his brother, you know, and he goes, all right, D it is. You know?
I think I took a philosophy class.
Philosophy was hard at Marquette, yeah.
It was hard. It was my senior year, too, and I was just like, I got to pass. I got to get out of here.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was like going to give me a D, and he was like maybe 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I went up to him after the last class.
We
got to
talk.
Like, no, I wasn't like mean. I wasn't trying to be like, you know, De Niro or anything.
You're
I was
part
just
of my
like,
gen. What's up?
I begged him. I'm like, hey, I'm like, just give me a C, man. Like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, my life's going to suck. You don't give me a C. Like, I'm going to end up being a roofer somewhere. Like, it's going to go downhill. I'm going to start drinking.
If I don't get out of Marquette, I'm going to be a roofer.
It's going to suck. And uh-huh. The guy was like, all right. And he did it. Nice. It was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then I got out. You couldn't graduate from Marquette without a 2.0.
Yeah.
All right.
I looked my report card senior year was 2.004.
Oh. Like, yes. Perfect.
Decimals. Yes.
And Mary Minson leapt for joy.
Mary Minson, yeah.
Well, there's going to be, you know, we're getting into the summer months. There's going to be a lot of kids getting ready to embark on that world, right? Going to college.
Yeah, it's a big step. My nephew's doing it. He's going over to the University of Missouri.
Oh, good
my
for
nephew,
him.
Gavin, he's my godson. He's a hell of a kid.
Great journalism school.
Is that terrifying for your brother and sister-in-law, you think? It's got to be, right? First one going to college is always nerve-wracking.
It was terrifying when he went to high school.
Yeah.
For other reasons. Yeah. But he's got a good head on his shoulders.
I can't believe my parents must have been terrified of the fact that they let the three of us go up to Marquette together.
It was a different era. It was pre 9/11. It was a different world.
That's true.
I stunk at Marquette.
I stunk at life.
I did too. It was like I was just living there.
It was.
It was like there was no school.
Going up to Milwaukee on vacation for a couple of years. I'll be back.
Well, you know, I have student loans. I have student loans from Marquette, and I'm like, man, I can't believe it. I didn't. When I was goofing off of Marquette then, I didn't think I was going to be 35 with a couple of kids being like, man, I'm still paying for that vacation. I took 18.
Yeah.
Long.
You could have gone to Dubai for like a month.
So if any of you kids,
I could have made a movie.
If any of you guys are listening out there and you're getting ready to go to college this year,
I could have, would have, should
have. Take it seriously.
Keep your nose to the grindstone. Yeah,
just go to class.
Don't
go to class
is half the battle.
Yeah,
go to school.
Don't play with fireworks. Go to school,
and don't take magical potions or powders.
You know why? Because there's
you can listen to Guns N' Roses though, but just be responsible about it.
And I think we all should.
Oh, you know what?
Okay.
And if your room stinks, use Fresh Wave.
Oh yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Because as we edge closer,
hold on,
to summer,
real quick.
Yeah.
Remember our fridge, freshman year at McCormick?
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Yes, I do.
I think Fresh Wave even could have solved that problem.
If you leave chicken in a fridge
a
for 6 months
a chicken
and
burrito.
Then don't open the door.
It's like Ghostbusters.
It is like Ghostbusters.
We threw the fridge out.
We didn't even open it.
Unplug it. Throw it away.
We like tried to open it and it growled. And we just threw the whole thing out the window.
But if you had thrown a disc of Fresh Wave in there, could have waited a week and
instant.
Opened it.
Instant.
Yeah, so I mean, as we edge closer to the summer in Chicago, my friends at Fresh Wave want you to know that it doesn't have to be a stinky one. If you have kids running to sports camps or summer school, the dog spending most of his time rolling around outside in the grass, it can all add up to odors and shoes and sports equipment in the car you chauffeur everyone around in. On the pet bedding, odors, odors everywhere. Count on Fresh Wave natural odor products to keep you out of the odor zone. Like our listener Mary, who recently said, one sniff of Fresh Wave products and I was a believer. The best part is Fresh Wave keeps everything smelling fresh, no matter what's going on around. Fresh Wave products are made using only simple, pure, and natural ingredients. No masking fragrances, and 100% safe. Available at Bed Bath & Beyond, Ace Hardware, Foods, Whole Foods, Mariano's, and The Container Store. To find your nearest retailer, go to FreshWaveWorks.com today.
And we'll be back to the Hooli's Hooli right after these commercial messages.
A vending machine? Sure. A parking meter? Okay. A slot machine? That's kind of the point. There are some machines that you have to pay to use. An ATM shouldn't be one of them. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, every ATM nationwide is free, even ones outside the network. With the fees you'll save, go on, buy a candy bar from that vending machine. Get our total access special offer at wintrust.com/TAC. Members FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from the Jewels. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
And we're back, 1240 a.m. WSBC, coming down, winding down here at the Hooli's Hooli.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to remind everyone, the White Sox, I know we're listening here on Wednesday, but it's that the White Sox, they just won their fifth consecutive series in a row.
Nice.
Okay? Climbing out of the cellar, coming back to reality of what we think.
Huge.
Huge. 162 games. I mean, it's how many? Is it 162 in baseball?
Yeah.
Huge amount of games. Huge.
We got a second half coming up. Don't count them out yet.
No.
And as we've seen on the north side, there is reality. The Cubs are coming back down to reality.
Down to the cellar. Okay.
Like you said at the beginning of this,
the Cubs will win the World Series,
and neither will the White Sox. So we know that
nobody will.
Yep. Irish Fest this weekend. Yeah. Irish Fest this weekend at the Irish American Heritage Center.
Yep.
Go check it out. I think it's too late to plug Kevin Flynn because he'll be playing. I know we talked about it last week. He was our guest last week. He was fantastic. And he's playing at 5:30. So if you're listening to us right now.
You missed them.
You missed them, unfortunately.
But you're still there having a good time. So yes, just keep doing that.
And there's all kinds of great acts tomorrow, Sunday.
And don't miss the Crack with Cooney and Keene.
Don't miss the Crack with Cooney and Keene, which is every Thursday night in the 5th Province at the Irish American Heritage Center. They do a little session afterwards. Great show. It's produced by Hibernian Transmedia, just like this one.
Yep.
And we're getting ready to roll out of here. Clay, you had you wanted to play a Guns N' Roses song for our radio. Now, this is actually from the concert?
This is from the show on Sunday. Now, it's song a lot of people might not know. It's off of their later album, Chinese Democracy. It's called This I Love, but I think it showcases the...
Where'd you get this bootleg?
The talent. I can't tell you that. Enjoy.
Hey, until next week. We'll see you later.
It's all a lie. What's the use of mine? confessions to the crowd, passions that won't die in my heart. Seen it in her eyes, and I would choose to die, give up my ghost and cry.